Hey everybody, this is Cineax here with a new show that we're going to try to put on. Soft Card Gamers, episode 1, 6969. I am here with my co-host, Brian Batticle. How you doing, Brian
Yo, that's me. The
Batticle?
double G. Wait,
So,
no, that's
we are
somebody else.
gathered here today to talk about a lot of the stuff that's been going on in the news lately as far as where we're going with Next Gen. And one of the main topics with Next Gen is how much is it going to cost us to get a Next Gen video game? Let me see where my articles are at real quick. So one of the things that pretty much happened recently to kind of give us an idea of what's going on was, where the fuck is it? I don't have it. Anyways, NBA 2K21 is coming out this year. But you cannot upgrade from what was it, PS4 or Xbox One up into the next gen for free, like some of the other games that have been offering that. You actually have to pay $69.99. What do you think about this,
So
Brian?
haven't most other games and companies and stuff actually said that you can, if you buy one, then you're good for the next one?
Yeah. Oh, is it I'll name off a couple real quick. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Cyberpunk 2077, Destiny's doing a free upgrade, Dirt 5, Far Cry 6, even though that comes out next year, FIFA, Madden, Marvel's Avengers later on this year, Watch Dogs Legion. That's just to name a few that I got off the internet.
So this is the first time they've actually done anything like that, isn't it? Like I don't remember with any of the other system launches that
Yes,
they've done that.
this is definitely because if you could take, for example, one of the last games that came out for PS3, for example, The Last of Us, the first one, when you
Yeah.
wanted to upgrade it to the next gen version, which I think came out, I don't know how far off it came out, but you actually still had to pay the full price. Or not really, it was like a $39.99, I think, if anything.
But I think it had also dropped by then as well.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that?
I asked you first, sir.
Oh, did you? Oh, shit. Okay. So I think it's a good idea offering the upgrade thing because how, like, realistically, how many people are actually going to purchase two games, right? Like, there's. Like it's gonna be maybe 1%, right? Like who the fuck is gonna buy games twice that aren't like remastered or anything? Because I've bought quite a few games quite a few times, but it's throughout the years and it's not like a end of the life of one system going into the next system. So I think offering that's a good idea and. It's cool because it gives you something to play on your new system as soon as it starts. I know we had talked a little bit about whether or not they were going to allow you to do the PS4 games that you got from PlayStation Plus onto the PS5. And it looks like most of them are. Like, if it's available or whatever, then they're going to let you do that, which I think that's a great idea because then that gives people to play, because I've been around. Many a new launch, right? And you got like one game, you got two games, and then you don't really do anything with the system until more games comes out, right? So this is getting more people onto the next gen systems, and like hold them there, right? So they don't go back to the previous systems, which I think that's a good idea. Gives
Yeah.
more people stuff to do, and I don't see why they wouldn't do it, because like I said before. Like, who the hell is going to buy like NBA 2K1 on PlayStation 4 and 5? Like
Yeah.
I don't see anyone doing that I know personally. There might be somebody out there, and if you do, I'm sorry. You probably aren't listening to this anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like, I see, like, what was it? Like, the direction that we're going in with next gen seems more user friendly than anything. Or at least, what was it? Consumer friendly, I mean to say. So, for
Right.
example, they have an article where this was from Adam. I'm not even going to butcher his last name. This is by Adam from Tech Radar. In a consumer conscious move, Microsoft, and I'm telling you, Microsoft is trying to be the winners this year. Microsoft has apparently told developers that they shouldn't charge players a premium to upgrade their current gen games to the Xbox Series X version. With a number of video games set to release on both Xbox One and Xbox Series X in the coming months, Microsoft has encouraged developers to use its smart delivery program instead, but has left the door open for developers to implement their own methods, which I guess 2K, this is not, what was it, down with 2K. This is basically like if they have any other methods they want to use to, like, you know, upgrade you for free.
Right. So maybe some companies will just straight up give you another key or something like that.
Yeah, that's what we're pretty much like hoping for, or something like that. What was it, depending on how they want to do everything. But right now, it's, what was it, 2K is the only one that's going in this awkward direction. But then that leaves us to wonder, if 2K is going in that direction, how many others later on are going to take that different approach? Because yes, we can upgrade these games for free, but what's to say the next Assassin's Creed is not going to be $69.99, or, you know, Far Cry 7 comes out at $69.99? We don't know.
So
what's next at this point in time?
So we talked about that, me and you, a while ago, and so I'll just rehash that conversation. So I said that is perfectly fine, because you know what? Okay, well, it's not fine, but so the I guess I understand why they're doing it, because you got to think about how quickly stuff goes on sale now. Yes. It kind of is like I mentioned before, with the early adopters for like electronics, you know, they pay premium prices for those new things coming out, and then like as the price goes down a little bit, it gets more to the generalized market. So I think so many people have so much stuff to do nowadays that, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people that still buy, you know, day one and things like that. But I mean, we saw, you know, yeah, of course there's preloads and things like that. But the rate they go down in price is so fast now. Like, I mean, I can remember, you know, Mario 64 never going down in price, like, ever.
You know, that's Nintendo. That's a whole different conversation.
Right, there. Yeah, that is totally true. But, you know, when's the last time you saw a PlayStation 4 game hold that, you know, price point that it came out at?
No, so, yeah. It won't. Like, I mean, was it, especially with was it like all these games coming out around the time of Black Friday, they're gonna drop down to half price right off the bat.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. It's not like a gradual reduction. It's not like remember how CDs used to do? I guess we're dating ourselves, because
yeah, exactly.
CDs even come out anymore? I don't know.
But
remember, like the same thing with DVD releases too. Like, remember like the week of.
Yeah.
They were cheaper, and then like the second week they came out, they went up like a couple bucks. So yeah, I mean, there's that route they could go too.
Exactly.
Okay, who cares? $69. I mean, look at Walmart. They're undercutting that, and they're actually putting most games out $10 cheaper than what the release price is as it is. Like, you could go to Walmart right now and buy Mario Origami King or whatever.
Yeah, for Paper Mario.
$50 instead of $60.
Yeah.
Right now. It came out today. So, you know, like, I saw Doom. Like, Doom, or wait, no, it wasn't Doom. What was it? Code Vein. Like, that's not even a year old or whatever. And it was $18 at Walmart, you know? So.
Yep. That one's, that one's definitely getting its price drop already.
Yeah, and you know, and that comes with too, I think they are actually producing a lot less physical copies of games nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, you don't go to a store unless it's like a huge release and then they got like 30, you know, copies of the game. It's they got like 5 or whatever, because there's a lot of people that just download stuff, and the costs that they save with you know, downloading stuff versus making physical copies, it's a whole lot. So I can see why the prices go down as fast as they do now.
Yeah, they're definitely going to go down in price. And I mean, that's what's going to end up happening. And I wonder if it's going to just either change the direction of putting out those games at $69.99, because I already know there's going to be, you know, your hardcore gamers that are going to go right off the bat. They're going to dive in, grab the $69 copy, because I'm pretty sure these are the same people that are willing to spend either $100, $120 on the collector's edition off the bat. So it's like that that doesn't affect them.
Exactly.
So they're going to get their money regardless. Yeah. Especially, I think Ubisoft is infamous for putting out, you got your standard edition, your ultimate edition, and like your super digital ultimate edition that goes up to like $120 that has like everything. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in that direction, it's like it almost won't really affect everybody in a certain way. It's just going to affect that casual gamer to the point. And then the casual gamer is just going to look at it like, well, look, I don't need that right now. I can just wait. I'll wait for a Black Friday or, you know, while the prices drop, because I think it's always a competition between Amazon and Best Buy. The moment something decides, hey, we're going to drop the price. Right off the bat, they dropped the price.
Yeah. Well, fuck Best Buy forever, so.
What happened with Best Buy?
My Gamers Club ran out, so I don't get my 20% off of my new games anymore, so I don't care about Best Buy. That was literally the only reason. Had so many problems with Best Buy. Like, the Doom issue, the Final Fantasy 14 expansion issue. Which I don't think that ever got resolved, and I think I lost my my credit. But whatever, I hate Best Buy, so fuck them.
Oh well, but yeah, that's That's pretty much the future with everything as far as next gen gaming, and I guess we're gonna have to wait and see to see what direction, because we won't be able to see anything really right off the bat, because everything that seems to be coming out that's important to this generation. This current generation is going to come out and then get upgraded for free. The stuff that we know that is going to land on like PlayStation 5, well, we don't know anything about Xbox yet. We're probably going to find that out on the 23rd of July. But for PlayStation 5, we know, like, for example, Miles Morales is supposed to be a PlayStation 5 only game. But rumor has it it's going to be at a $40 price point, such as like Lost Legacy, which was like, not like a DLC type of game, but kind of like, you know, a little expansion to the side that is a standalone copy.
They're using
the
same engine, but it's enough of a different story where it's not DLC.
Yeah, basically. And I mean, they did say they were going to use, quote-unquote, like, you know, different mechanics or whatever that, caters to the PS5 in some way, shape, or form. But I highly doubt that, that's going to be the situation. I feel like it's going to be the same engine. Everything's just going to be pretty much the same or whatever with a couple of little, you know, shiny objects here and there.
Well, I mean, the thing is, too, like, you can, it uses the same infrastructure. Like, I mean, it's all using Unreal 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever the fuck they are on now.
Definitely 4.
Yeah, but... and so basically the new system can just handle more shit. And so they can just put more shit into the engine. So it's, you know, like, if you're making an engine from the ground up or whatever, it takes like, 2 years, 3 years, something like that for most of the big AAA games. So, you know, it's by the time that it comes out, they could already have been tweaking it and, you know, gotten their PS5 development kits and shit like that. So, you know, that's to be expected. You know, and it's totally believable. And I think, you know, a lot of the resources and stuff goes into building those engines and stuff on the front end. So if you're charging more for that game and then, you know, it's less for the second one. You know, actually, okay, great example, Resident Evil, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about that the other day. Resident Evil 2, awesome game. Like, it was mind-blowing. It was a awesome imagineering. That's a Disney word. Can't use that. A reimagination. It's a reimagination of the original game, right? And then Resident Evil 3 came out, and you're just like, I beat it in one sitting. Like, I don't do that. Like, games take more than one sitting for me. And so it felt like a DLC. It even used some of the same exact areas that were in Resident Evil 2. So you're just like, you know, why am I paying $60 for this shorter experience that felt like a DLC? When, you know, it kind of becomes a, you know, did I feel like this is an unfair price point for this? Now, I still like the game and everything, and, you know, I'll support them, I guess. Yeah. Whatever.
No, yeah, that's one of the issues that we have with this current generation, that we have to see where that median meets and whatnot, because you have games that are like, for example, The Last of Us 2, right? Last of Us 2, even under the Walmart, you know, appreciation to the consumer, what was it, came out at $59.99 or $95, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It came out at $60.
I actually noticed that it was actually not reduced.
Yeah, the same thing happened with Death Stranding. There's a couple other titles, and it seems like, I don't know if these are the PlayStation Studio titles that are coming out at these max prices, but that's a whole different topic. As far as, like, games that are coming out, when you're looking at certain price points, like the indie games or whatever, you know, you got, like, Untitled Goose Game that came out at $20, and a lot of people felt a certain type of way about it. They felt that it should have been $15 right off the bat, which technically it was if you pre-ordered it, but then, you know, it became $20, and people didn't want to buy it after that for whatever reason. But what was it? You have other games like Lost Legacy or, like, this Miles Morales game that's coming out. Far Cry New Dawn was another one. They came out at $40, and there you're basically like 10 to almost 15 hour type games that you know, they only have like that one like regular thing or whatever. It's not like a single player, multiplayer, all this crazy stuff that goes with it, and it's just, you know, just a little bit more story of what was going on in that universe that you played and you paid $60 for.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
They actually did this a while ago too. I don't know if you played them or not. But the Saints Row games, like Saints Row 3 was, you know, out. It was like the, I think, yeah, it was on the new generation from the second one, and it was really cool. You know, it was great world and everything. And then they ended up doing Saints Row 4 or whatever the fuck it was called. And they literally took a DLC story and then expanded it out into a full-fledged game, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
And it felt like a DLC, and it was just like, you know, you guys really shouldn't have charged, you know, full price for this kind of deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't happen a lot, but, it, you know, meh. And then you get other games where you're like, man, I want more, like God of War, right? Like, I wish they had some DLC or something for it to get me back into the game.
Yeah, exactly. It would be nice. But I think, like, even he didn't want to go through with adding on to it and whatnot. The same's happening with The Last of Us. They closed that out as far as everything's concerned. So, I mean, we'll see how this all works out down the road, because with a lot of the stuff, especially with DLC, is another topic with, you know, games, increasing their prices and stuff like that. Now we still have to pay this, you know, the DLC. We still have to, deal with microtransactions and whatnot. You know, these are still going to be the norm of gaming, and that's is going to be like, you know, like, how much money are we really putting into these games that we, you know, we only play for like 10 to 15 hours at max, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's one of the issues we're going to be faced with at some point in time. I mean, you don't have to buy the DLC. You don't have to buy microtransactions, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, some gamers will say that, hey, I'd rather these things be included. If I'm paying $69 for a game, like, I shouldn't have to pay another $30 to $40 for DLC. Like, for example, Borderlands 3 was $60 right off the bat. And if you wanted to get the season pass separate, like, let's say you didn't have all the money to throw up a front for, like, the deluxe edition, you would have to pay, I think it was almost another $50 just for the season pass. And I don't know about you, but that's a little ridiculous. That's Call of Duty money right there. Like,
yeah, so I think, Call of Duty with their battle pass or whatever the fuck that is, man, that just kind of pissed me off, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I don't follow Call of Duty right now that much. If I'm not mistaken, I think the battle pass kind of helps it out now, because you don't have to pay the $15. I think it was like, what, every so often, I think it was, for expansion instead of just like you just pay $10, I guess. I mean, it saves you money in the long run, but you're still putting money out regardless.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the Fortnite Battle Pass or whatever, you know? Yeah. But you know what? You got to think about that, too. Like, so Fortnite and Call of Duty Warzone, they're free games. So, you know, you can sit there and have, like, how many hours of entertainment out of it? Like, you should want to put some money back into these games and these companies to, you know, make sure they continue with the product.
Yeah,
and that's kind of something I think people forget sometimes. Like, I know there was, we talked about mobile games before, but most of the, I mean, how often do you have to buy a mobile game now? You don't, right? Like, and it's a cheapened experience or whatever. But I think mobile games end up making more money than the big AAA games sometimes, because the people thoroughly enjoy, you know, spending their money on something they really like. And, you know, if they get to choose where they spend it at rather than, you know, up front for the, you know, the full tour of the game or whatever, I think people are more likely to do that.
Yeah.
So I think more games should do that. Like, I think the Warzone idea that Call of Duty did, I think that was a great idea because, yeah, you got some people that can't afford, you know, especially with trying times and whatever, exactly. You know, it gives them a free option, or, you know, it gives you an, something to play with your friends or whatever, you know, maybe, you know, I can buy the battle pass, but you can still play with me, you know, and it doesn't really affect anything, or hell, if I wanted to, I could buy you a battle pass, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea and model. Obviously it doesn't work for every game. Like, how could you have a free-to-play or whatever, RPG or, you know, non-MMO type of deal, which I don't think you can.
No.
I don't think that would work.
In time.
But, you know, like, I think they could probably even do it with a lot of the sports games, too, you know?
Yeah.
I think EA should do that, and maybe they make more money, but...
Oh, that's another thing. Like, when was it the originator of this whole entire conversation where it basically fails is, like, you're talking about NBA 2K wants $69 to upgrade to the PS5 version, Xbox Series X, but you're just a sports game. Like, you are literally a copy and paste, and probably, you know, you polish it here and there. You probably, you know, draw up some mechanics here and there or whatever, make it, you know, the game a lot better, play a lot better or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's still the same basketball game you play, you know, back in 2020 to, was it 19, to, like... And they have the nerve to be the first ones to be $69.99 versus, you know, somebody like Cyberpunk, who's going to throw out this entire world, you know, this entire new game and whatnot. And they're choosing to give it to you for free completely.
See, you know who's really smart is Rockstar. Because you know they're going to release Grand Theft Auto 5 on PS5.
But they're also another one.
Buy it again.
No, but they're also another, what was it, company that are going to let you upgrade for free. Right?
Oh, really?
Yes.
They are?
Yes. Out of the, and you know they're money makers right there. That and EA, they wanted their money. And those are the two that stood out the most when it came into this conversation where it's like, yeah, they're going to give it to you for free. No issues.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like the only one so far is NBA, and it's like, you know, like, we're just starting this generation. You know, you're not even giving us a PS5 NBA 2K11. I mean, a 2K21. You're giving us the PS4 version that looks a little bit better. You know, you're giving us the Xbox One version that looks a little bit better, and you guys want either $69.99, or if we want both versions in one shot, we have to pay $99 for a version that is based on the guy who died, like, in, I think it was in January, February? Like, yeah. Now they're making money off of some guy's, you know, some guy that just passed away recently with his daughter. So, I don't know. Like,
it has to do with maybe the rights and shit that they gotta pay the NBA, like, you know, sports rights.
It's possible that, yeah, that money could, what was it, because that's another, what was it, bit of it, if it's like, what was it, where does all this money go? Like, you know, does it go to the developers of the, was it the game? Does it go to the publishers probably of the not. Game? You know, does it go to, you know, the money that they have to spend on rights, you know, for the teams and stuff like that and whatnot? Like, where does all this money technically go, you know? Wow. No phone calls, please. So, yeah. You know, like, that's one of the issues that we're having and we're seeing with gaming nowadays, where we're trying to figure out where and what direction we're going with this. And, you know, the more money we end up spending, like, in actuality, like, I would rather support the developers. These are the people that are hard at work trying to get this game, you know, going. They're, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, you know, through this game and whatnot just to get it out there. And, you know, is it really going to their pockets? Like, you know, is it
right, putting
food on their tables in a way that we think it should?
Probably so, not.
Yeah.
They're the most overworked, underpaid people, right?
Oh, yeah. Especially with, like, what was it, all the stuff that's been coming out about, you know, was it, what's the term that they used? Crunch hours and stuff like that. And
Crunch time working. And I know quite a few people that have either do work for EA and have worked for EA. And yeah, once the game comes out or whatever, you get, like, you know, a month or two off, but, you know, you kind of do kill yourself over it. Like, I know one guy, he was working there, I think, 11, 12 years on it, and he ended up just leaving the company to do, I mean, he's doing his own content creation type of, you know, social media thing. So good for him. But, you know, I mean, you think if you're at a company or somewhere for that long, you'd want to stay there for, you know, longer than that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you like, if you're at a company, especially, like, if you're making it big time with, like, you know, EA, or, like, you're with the Rockstar, or, you know, you're with Naughty Dog. Like, you want to be a part of that. You want to, you know, this is what you love. Like, you love gaming. You love, you know, doing the whole development cycle of whatnot, depending if you're, like, you know, you're the graphics guy, or the, you know, the guy behind the sound. You know, this is something you love and you want to put it out there or whatever. But what sucks is how, you know, these employees get treated, you know, from day to day. And, you know, the amount of money they really make. Like, what? Like, don't tell me they're making, like, you know, like $10 to $15 an hour. Like, it should be more at that point, especially with the stuff that they put out there.
Depends on what they do. But
yeah, it depends on what they do and what they put out there. So, yeah.
I mean, I know some other places where they don't treat their employees too well, but hey, you know, we won't talk about this.
No, that's a whole different topic for a whole different show and for a whole different time.
Let Jovan talk about that one.
Oh, yeah. Wait, he's got a podcast going on with that?
No.
Oh, I thought. All right, well, that's all the time we have for today. Do you have any last going messages you want to throw out there, Batticle?
I don't know. Should we tell them why we changed the name? Are we going to acknowledge we had a previous podcast, though? I don't know.
We're going to do, like, you know, how when companies are about to go under and stuff like that, we just switch the name up and just pretend like nothing ever happened. I think we're going to adopt that motive.
All right. Well, I'll see if I can. I don't want to get reapproved for everything on Anchor again, so I'm just going to see if I can change the name and upload this on there.
All right, awesome. And I will put it up on the YouTube channel. And well, yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for hanging out with us today. Have an awesome day.
See ya.